ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नामश्रेष्ठं मनमपि शक्तिपुत्रमत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्यागुरमुरुपरिं माधुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवा सम्प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितः कृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतःपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातम् सहगण रघुनतन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं भजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता शिवशाखान्वितांश्च। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। As you all know very well, there are four regulated principles to be followed by all initiated and seriously practicing members of Srila Prabhupada's International Society for Krishna Consciousness. No meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. And one thing that everyone should do, apart from these things that we shouldn't do, everyone should chant at least 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra daily. So four principles are there because that restricts us from sinful life. Those who are sinful, they cannot understand God. Yeshang tvantagatang papam jananam punya karmanam bhajante mandridavrataha. The translation of which is, you know this verse? No, you have to study Gita more. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and who are free from the dualities of illusion, can worship me, Krishna says, with full determination. There are four principles, all of which forbid us from engaging in these sinful activities. Among all of them, meat eating seems to be the nastiest. I don't know about all of you, but I was raised in a family where meat eating was normal. I would think probably that's true of all of you here too. If we were in Gujarat, maybe not. And if we were in Tamil Nadu, maybe 100 years ago, it would be less prominent. But after... Anyway, whatever the back, I'm not getting on anyone's case here, but I'm about that. But I'm just saying that after someone has taken to vegetarianism, we're talking about vegetarianism here, and it's not directly Krishna conscious. The very idea, you didn't eat meat, did you? I hope not, maybe. Modern ayah in Bombay? No. No, yeah, there's one vegetarian for life. South Indian Brahmin, that raised in Bombay, were you?
Yeah, raised in Mumbai.
But still you managed to...
My grandparents' parents never had...
Yeah, definitely your grandparents and parents would. But I think nowadays most ayahs in Bombay, and maybe in Chennai, I don't... Maybe not. Anyway, they'd be eating meat. Well, that's quite an achievement, to be raised in Bombay and not eat meat. that's some good culture. There are still some Vaishnava, Gujarati Vaishnavas, Vallabh Sampradaya, some Jains, not all of them. I'm talking about in Bombay. In Gujarat there are many still. In Haryana, it depends on the caste also, doesn't it? Just like you're from Brahmin caste. Although there are many Brahmins by caste who eat meat also. They've been going back generations. I think not here in Tamil Nadu. In North India. Just like this Vajpayee, Atal Bihari Vajpayee. Is he still alive? I didn't hear that he died. He's still alive, huh? Yeah, but he was Brahmin and a meat eater by background. Anyway, I'm getting off the topic here. What I wanted to say is that... what about you? What does it matter? I mean, it doesn't matter that much, but just out of curiosity. I think in Andhra also, mostly everyone now. It didn't... Even when I was first in India, it wasn't so common. But in the last generation, it's become that the government's promoting all this. Eat eggs for good health. Vegetarian eggs. Anyway, what I wanted to say is that once you've taken to vegetarianism, the thought of eating meat becomes something quite horrible, isn't it? Blood and all this and that. Among all the four principles, it's one which directly does harm to others. They all do harm, but in illicit sex, if it's consensual, then you don't directly see the harm, although you get karmic reactions. Alcohol drinking is often the cause of violence, which does harm to others, but directly the killing of animals. Of course, it's possible to be a meat eater without killing animals, like most Buddhists. They don't kill animals, but they eat meat. They have someone else kill the animal. But even apart, that's a kind of hypocrisy. But even apart from that, you can wait for the animal to die and then eat. That's what Srila Prabhupada recommended. As he said, even if you want to eat beef, Prabhupada said, you don't kill the cows, we'll supply beef. Prabhupada said, we can arrange that we'll supply the beef. That an arrangement can be made. And that used to be Chamor caste is there. They take, when there's a dead cow, they'd be called to take away and they'd eat the beef. And they'd take the skin and make shoes. Therefore they're called Chamor. Chamor means the skin of the animal. And various things they'd use like that. So, but I don't think anyone does that nowadays, hardly in the whole world. They eat animals which have died naturally. Slaughterhouses are everywhere. Srila Prabhupada said that the British, they didn't introduce all this mechanized slaughterhouses. They're a little politically astute, that they didn't... You know, politically astute means politically intelligent. They didn't want to upset the feelings of people so much because there were very few people ruling a huge population. They could only rule with the cooperation of the Indians, which is why that's what Srila Prabhupada said. Of course, it wasn't only him who said it, that it wasn't Gandhi who got rid of the British. It was Netaji Subhas Chandra Bose, because the British understood if the Indians fight against us, what are we going to do? We're a few people ruling over a massive population. We can't continue to rule unless we have their cooperation. So, but it was only after the political independence of India that another meat-eating Brahmin, Nehru, it's a long history, but anyway, the slaughterhouses came up more. So anyway, I didn't say anything directly about Krishna consciousness very much now. And really in Krishna consciousness, vegetarianism isn't our subject matter. I just read this morning a letter from Srila Prabhupada to one of his disciples in which it seems she had been invited to address a group of vegetarians, and Srila Prabhupada wasn't very enthusiastic about it. He said, "We're not really interested, vegetarian or non-vegetarian. Our subject is to preach about Krishna Prasad. If they take prasad, they're automatically vegetarian." And Srila Prabhupada said, "Vegetarian or non-vegetarian, they're both sinful." Of course, the sinfulness of vegetarian is considerably less than those who are non-vegetarian. But it doesn't necessarily mean that because someone's a vegetarian, they're going to be a devotee of Krishna. Although Srila Prabhupada did end that long paragraph in which he discussed about how in preaching, our preaching is kirtan, talk and distribute prasad. This is our preaching, not discussing about vegetarianism per se. Srila Prabhupada did say that he, after saying all of this, he wrote one sentence at the end, but it is a fact that people who are vegetarians, they can more easily come to God consciousness. So I thought about that, and I thought about one book we have. It's not translated in Tamil, so you haven't seen it. It was a book written after Srila Prabhupada's departure from this world, which is called The Higher Taste, which is a pun, P-U-N, a play on words, a play on words means it can have two different meanings. Just like we've heard about taste in Krishna consciousness, we use the word taste a lot. Rasavajang rasopiyasya parang drishtva nivartate. If one gets a higher taste, then he can give up a higher taste of Krishna consciousness, then he can give up the lower taste of sense gratification. So the book is called The Higher Taste, and a person who gets the book, they wouldn't understand, the average person wouldn't understand that the higher taste means Krishna consciousness, but it's advocating vegetarianism, which a higher taste. It gives the idea that it's higher, it's better ethically, and that it's better flavor also. So it gives the idea like that. So it's a play on words. Now, this book gives all reasons for being vegetarian. Moral reasons is major. Health reasons. Moral and health reasons. But it also sets off or gives an introduction to Krishna conscious philosophy. The laws of karma. It discusses how... I'm saying morally means killing animals means inflicting pain on them. We cannot give life, therefore we have no right to take away life. It was one of Srila Prabhupada's, he often said that. So it brings up the law of karma. And there are many quotes, very powerful quotes from Srila Prabhupada in that book. So in that way... it encourages vegetarianism, but not simply vegetarianism. It describes that the perfection of vegetarianism is patrang pushpang palang toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadahang bhakti paharitam ashnami prayatatmanaha. To offer everything that we eat to Krishna and take the remnants. Krishna accepts if we offer with love fruit, flower, leaf and water. As Srila Prabhupada sometimes said that if Krishna ate meat, we would too, because we're servants of Krishna, but Krishna doesn't, so we don't take such things. So in this way, it gives Krishna conscious perspective on an important issue in people's lives. At some point in time, of course, yeah, everyone's raised in a family, either meat-eating or non-meat-eating, and at some point in time, people have to decide for themselves which way they want to go. Most people don't think about it very much. Maybe, I don't know, but maybe in many of your cases, you became a vegetarian because you came to Krishna consciousness. But in the Western countries, at least when I joined in 1975, almost everyone who joined, we were all young, mostly those who were joining, we were already vegetarian before we joined. But although we weren't raised in vegetarian families, we'd taken a decision. I was one, and practically all everyone who was joining had taken a decision to be a vegetarian. You also had to decide. It means, that's what I'm saying, in Bombay, to be a vegetarian is quite an achievement, because if you were, say you were raised in Sri Rangam, or an Ayah, maybe Chidambaram is a better example. If you were Brahmin from Ayahs in Chidambaram, you probably wouldn't even think because of eating meat, because you are raised in that community, Brahmin community. There's a large Brahmin community, and they don't eat meat, and you wouldn't even think about it. In Bombay, probably some of your friends in the college and this and that, there's a, come on, why don't you eat with a chai at one time, something like this. So you actually had to make a decision to be a vegetarian and to follow your family customs and this and that. So at some point in time, when people get a little older, then they can decide for themselves. And like I say, most people, they won't even think about it. But if there's some propaganda about it, then people can start to think about it. I became a vegetarian because I saw in a book on yoga that it's better to be vegetarian. It didn't just pop up in my mind by itself. But because there was some problem, previously there were no yoga books in the West until fairly recently. So some propaganda has been made, and therefore people are taking it up. Now again, our propaganda is take to Krishna consciousness. They'll automatically be vegetarian. But I'm just thinking about this book, how it sells well. It has a practical message that it's giving a practical message that people can implement in their life to improve their life in a very definite and concrete way. And it gives the physical and for health and moral and Higher Taste also gives some history, background, different religions, how in Christianity there have been so many vegetarians and this and that. But it introduces people to something which is an issue through Krishna consciousness. Just like I saw in a yoga book, and I started doing yoga and this and that. It seems in the Western countries many people became vegetarian. Health was a major factor, but it seems nowadays more and more it's on an ethical basis also, because people, maybe more so, because people are informed about the horrible treatment of animals and how it's just come, and the fact that there are so many vegetarians in the Western world. They used to think that you can't be fit and healthy without eating meat, but that's quite clear that because there are so many vegetarians in the Western world now, it's quite clear that you don't need to eat meat to be fit and healthy. So many people now, the vegetarians, especially the veganism is promoted. They're saying don't take milk, don't take milk products because the cows are treated so badly in the Western countries, and actually in India also, mostly. Cows are not treated well, mostly. It's mistreated. They're not treated very nicely. The best they can hope for is to be in the cities, is to be put on the street to find some garbage to eat. And so many are slaughtered. In Salem, there's a slaughterhouse. That means in every town, in every large town in Tamil Nadu. Now, that's one way we can connect with people that we couldn't otherwise connect with. Just like by bringing up this topic, just like Jains. Mostly they won't take our books, they're not interested. You're looking up, you're looking up at the camera, you know. But they are very much promoting cow protection, vegetarianism, so you can say, look, this is a... Because many people who are vegetarians here in India, they don't really know why, and they don't have much information, and so you can tell them, here, look, here's a book, which gives you... When people ask you, and they get on your case, why you're a vegetarian, come on, eat meat, you can tell, here, look, here are all the reasons. One very interesting thing in that Higher Taste book is it shows that the kind of teeth that humans have and the intestinal tract that they have, the digestive tract, is similar to those of vegetarians, not of meat-eating animals. Yeah, digestive tract. That's a tough one in Tamil. I have to think about it. You don't tell me, I wouldn't know. How would you say that in Hindi? Pachan?
Pachan prakriya.
Pachan prakriya.
Intestine?
No, I'm talking about the digestive tract. I mean, the digestive tract is everything from the mouth to the anus, isn't it? I think. I'm not much up in biological terms.
At least from the tongue till the large intestine.
Is it? Yeah. Okay, well anyway, and even for our devotees to explain to their children who they're sending to the slaughterhouse, to the mundane schools, they may... Here in Tamil Nadu, it's a great pride, the government proudly declares what is it, AIDMK, whatever it is, that we're giving eggs to all the school children every day. Isn't it? They're giving eggs. So that was under Jayalalitha, Brahmin, Vaishnav, Chief Minister, she brought this in, eggs for the children. So, I'm just thinking it would be good to have a book, but for India, we're not that Higher Taste book doesn't bring up the Indian issues so much. It's a different atmosphere here regarding vegetarianism, because it is... In the West, it's not, but here it is very much connected with dharma. That, for instance, Muslims and Christians here in India, or Muslims pretty much everywhere, although there are some vegetarian Muslims, but Christians, especially in India, think that it's part of our dharma. We have to eat meat. And I was told that by Satya Gopinath Prabhu, I think he told me that he's in Rajamundry, and he made a very beautiful temple there on the bank of the Godavari. Right. I often get mixed up between Godavari and Krishna. Krishna is in Vijayawada. That they bring the Christians bring people to baptize with Godavari water, unless they get Godavari water on their head, which is, and but to make them to be sure that they're doing it not just for the money they get for converting or whatever, they have to do something like stamp on a picture of Hindu gods and eat beef. Eating beef, because the Hindus who become Christians, they might have eaten beef prior to that. Probably most of them were eating chickens and mutton and all kinds of things, fish maybe from the Godavari. But eating beef, that's a sign that you're really, you've rejected Hinduism. Of course, nowadays, Hare Krishna. Hindus, especially in Kerala, are eating beef also. Very, very bad. But that's what happens. They start eating garlic and then they eat. Next thing is they'll start to eat chicken and they eat mutton and then beef is cheap comparatively. So it's a down spiral. It's a different atmosphere. It's connected to dharma and many people, they still the culture is there strong enough that people, if you even talk about it, they'll take it up. I used to hear in Salem, we used to go in the colleges and do programs and in the schools and without even talking, just presenting Krishna consciousness and people's pious sentiments become awakened and then just speak a little bit about why we shouldn't eat meat and then on the spot without hardly any preaching about it, then so many children in the school, 15, 16 years old, they'll vow, no, now we'll become vegetarian. Because they still understand there's something not proper there. That may go unless, that may change. Just like in Japan, it used to be, so I'm told, that most of the population were vegetarian. Maybe not the samurai, the fighters. But many people were because of the influence of Buddhism. But nowadays there's no such, and no one used to eat beef, but now that's, no one's, they don't even have any feeling that it's wrong. In Sri Lanka, the monks means Buddhist monks, they very much want to stop cow slaughter. They still understand it's something wrong, even though Buddhists, mostly including the monks, are eating meat, but not beef. So that's a major issue, but we have to explain it. In the Western countries, they think it's a joke that Hindus don't eat beef. What's wrong with them, they think. And unless the Hindus themselves, which means the Jains, Sikhs, unless they're educated in this, then they also won't understand. So it needs to be explained to them. So I'm just thinking that we need to make a book for mass distribution. Something like that Higher Taste book with plenty of quotes from Srila Prabhupada. If not for any other reason, the fact that it opens them up to the quotes of Srila Prabhupada, that's a good reason to distribute that book. Actually, we should have so many books on so many topics, addressing topics in people's practical lives. Sahadev Prabhu, he's written so many books on so many topics. That oil book, he was given an honorary PhD by the then Chief Minister of Andhra Pradesh, because he read that book, the Chief Minister. He became very, the oil crisis he was talking about. And he gave many quotes from Prabhupada, and the Chief Minister, who was a Christian, actually, but he was very impressed by this. And he especially was very impressed by the quotes from Srila Prabhupada. So, like this, on various issues, it's a good way to give the authoritative Krishna conscious Shastric perspective. We have that book coming back also, which here in India, in the colleges, many people, the Hindus, they want to tell us about reincarnation. We're raised as Hindus, and we believe in it, but we're taught science, and it doesn't seem. Can you tell us about it? They're not sure, because we hear so many stories about reincarnation, and it's very much deeply in the Hindu psyche. But then people may doubt it because they always no one, not proved, not science. So that book coming back is very good. That address. So I'm just saying we should have books giving the Krishna conscious understanding, the actual understanding on all various issues. And I'm particularly talking about vegetarianism here, and addressing issues just like people say, Rama ate meat, Bhima ate meat. So how do we address that? This is required, isn't it? When you go preaching, people ask you things like, or they raise some objections like this. So Bhima ate meat. So? Or they say, Jesus ate meat. What was Srila Prabhupada's reply to that? He can eat the whole world if he likes. He's a powerful spiritual personality. He's not contaminated. If there's nothing else to eat, then you can. Srila Prabhupada said, in the desert, if there's nothing else to eat, you can eat. But then actually, long ago means maybe 25 years ago, this Satyaraj, he's written so many books, Satyaraj Prabhu, he brought out a book which showed that most probably Jesus didn't eat meat. Because the translations, what happened is, he gave various reasons, but the thing I remember most is that Jesus spoke in the language he spoke was Aramaic, is the name of the language. And I'm not sure if Aramaic is still spoken, but whatever it was 2,000 years ago, Aramaic. The Gospels, which describe the life of Jesus, the ones which made it to the Bible. There are many Gospels written which didn't make it in the Bible. The ones that made it in the Bible, that were accepted in the Bible, they're written in Greek. It's a different language. So sometimes you'll find in the Bible, well, Jesus ate meat. What's the word for food? If you ask someone in Tamil, have you taken your meal? What will you say? You say, have you taken rice? Do you say that? Do you say, have you taken rice? Yes, yeah. In Bengali, you'll say, "Apni ki bhat khayachen." It means, have you eaten rice? But actually, it means, have you taken your meal? Because the staple food is rice. So it's pointed out that in Greek, if you ask someone, have you taken a meal, they say, have you eaten meat? Because they consider a meal is not really a meal unless you have meat. So in this way, he pointed out that in many things, how just by the language, it had become distorted. And that Jesus was... There's so much scholarship about Jesus and what actually he said and did, and it's not very clear, but it's, there's an argument he was a member of the Essene sect, which was they're a vegetarian sect. So it was unlikely that he had. Anyway, all this kind of thing can be brought out. From a Krishna conscious perspective, and that will be helpful for our preachers to preach and to give this information. And and then people, if they if they come to vegetarian through Krishna consciousness, to vegetarian through Krishna consciousness, that with this understanding, it's another way to introduce Krishna consciousness. So it's not that we have to promote this as the main thing, but we can have it on our bookstore. And recently, devotees in Bhopal, Madhya Pradesh, they were asking me, they went to an area of Rajasthan, Dungarpura, that, I think they said. Dungarpur, yeah. He said that in the villages in that area, it's all Jains. So, you know that?
Yes.
So he says, very difficult to distribute books to them. So I was thinking, if we had this kind of thing, we could promote this. We have to see how to connect with people. I'm told that our books in Arabic, recently, the last 2 years or so, there's been a big push for distributing Srila Prabhupada's books in Arabic. You may think, well, how are we going to distribute books in Arabic in the Muslim nations? Well, there are many Arabs who don't live in the Muslim nations. For instance, there are many students and immigrants from Arabic countries to the Western countries. And it's also not so well known that not all Arabs are Muslims. There are many Christians also. Not very many, but not an insignificant number. Here in India, the church is there, the Syrian Coptic Church, right, in Kerala. So that's going on. It means it came from Syria, Arabic background. So they have those books, and what I'm told, they have the word for God there in Arabic, Allah. Because that's the word for God in Arabic. Now, you may say it's got Muslim connotations, but I'm just making the point that to reach those people, what we have to say, what we have to do, I didn't ask, but I'm sure the translators and the publisher, maybe Satyanarayan Prabhu, my great godbrother, great, he's getting books translated and distributed in Arabic and Farsi, and what a great thing to do. So, really, really very, 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 I want to say, pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. So, I'm sure they discussed it in great detail, what to do, what to say. I'm just making the point that they're presenting, and they're giving covers on those books, which are not traditional Krishna conscious covers for the books, but they have, for instance, pictures of the desert, because for Arabs, they think the desert is a very spiritual place, because if someone wants to reflect on life and become contemplative, then they'll go in the desert away from the hubbub of society, like this. So I'm just saying it's a thought that we could have a book, doesn't have to be a very big book, which can present all the reasons why it's better to be vegetarian than not. But what's the main reason that we know? As Srila Prabhupada said, people, they become more open to God consciousness. At least that sinfulness of meat eating, they'll be freed from that. So you give all the reasons and highlight the Krishna conscious reasons. And again, especially in the Indian edition, we can say Krishna's Gopal. He loves cows. They don't like to kill animals, any animals. So someone should write that. How about you? Ever wrote any book before? I have so many books to write. I'm just thinking, how can we get through to so many different kinds of people? Mostly our preaching here in India concentrates on the middle-class pious Hindus, but there is a huge constituency of middle-class pious Hindus, but it's not at all the majority of the population. We have also tribals, we're in a tribal area here. We have working class, or people who are struggling, and village people in the villages who tend to be quite pious. I think most of you here are from village background, is it? Yeah. We get a very nice response generally when we go in the villages, yeah? People are more pious. So we should be thinking how to spread our preaching to Muslims, Christians, atheists, Buddhists, Parsis, Sikhs. There are all kinds of people. We have to think how to bring Krishna consciousness to everyone. So from the farm, Srila Prabhupada also said, he was talking about the farm near Hyderabad, we should have the bullock carts going out in all different directions. So you're doing that now, going out in the villages and doing Harinam. It's a nice response, huh? The children, they love to call out Hare Krishna. Yeah.
Even the elders in the villages, they are giving respect.
Uh-huh.
They are giving a lot of donation also.
Very good, very good. Yeah, they're more open. Generally, we'll find that all over the world, that people in rural areas, they're more kind, open-hearted, generally speaking. More pious. Generally speaking, we find everywhere. So, here the growing food is one thing, but there's so many people all around. We can see all the hills around. There are people, there are houses everywhere. It's even though it's agricultural, population is there everywhere. I was surprised I went to Himachal Pradesh, because you go up on the train from, where is it, from Chandigarh, from Kalka to Shimla, and all of the hills covered with houses everywhere, houses, hotels for tourists. A lot of preaching to be done in this country. Everywhere. So there's just one idea, one thing. Just like nowadays, if people say, well, there are so many gods, that's a standard question after we give a lecture. Now in the next few weeks, I'm supposed to be giving lectures in different, where is that? Karur, Polachi, Rasipuram. You know, I'm scheduled to go to Rasipuram, birthplace of one great Mahatma. And where else? Mettur, I think I'm supposed to go. Anyway, Medcherry. That's your place? Oh. Okay. So it's a very common thing at the end of the talk, when we ask for questions, people say, well, what are there so many gods? Why are you saying only Krishna? So we can give a reply and then say, for more information, see this book. Which book? Who is Supreme? We could have said previously Bhagavad Gita, but then people, it addresses that issue, but many other issues also. But that book, Who is Supreme? It specifically takes this topic. So similarly, when people ask a reincarnation, we have a book specifically on this topic. So vegetarianism also. Why vegetarian? Not exactly vegetarian, we're Krishnatarian, Srila Prabhupada used to say. So okay, here's the book. So it becomes the authorized information, and everything in one place. There's so many topics we put in. I have that beginner's guide to Krishna consciousness. Everything's there for beginners. Actually, the first book I wrote in English, the first book I wrote was actually in Bengali because I was in Bangladesh, which was like the beginner's guide because we were going village to village, and because of the nature of the situation at that time, we couldn't spend, or we thought we couldn't spend very long in one place because we were afraid that the authorities would catch up with us. So it was hit and run. We'd go to a village one day and then the next day another village. So I was thinking, people become very excited and enthusiastic, and then we go, and then we give a few books here and there, but I thought we should have a little book which just tells people, what do you want to do if you want to take this up seriously? So I wrote that. Then the next book I wrote was The Brahmacharya and Krishna Consciousness, because there were so many questions coming again and again about practicing Brahmacharya, so I thought, okay, I'll just put it all in a book. And then the questions don't come. Hardly nowadays, because the book's there. So we need all kinds of books on all different topics. I know that most of you here are not educated to the level of writing books. It doesn't matter. You chant Hare Krishna. This idea that you have to be very educated, this idea that if you're more educated, you're better, is not. If you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're the best. All of you here, you may not be very educated, but you're all much better than all these big educated people who are not chanting Hare Krishna. Je bhaje she bharo, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Whoever worships Krishna is great. So, I'm just putting this idea out for whoever can take it up. It may not be for you. Exactly. There you have children. He's healthy now? Healthy now? Had to go to hospital? Okay, good. So when he grows up, now he's a small boy, but as you know, it doesn't take long for them to become bigger. How they change quickly from a little baby. Now is already completely different from a little baby, right? And after 10 years will be completely different again. And the age they may be asking, well, why this, why that? So it's useful to have all these different kinds of books too. So all the information's there. You can tell them this. And it becomes very convincing. Hare Krishna. Oh. So, any question? I think the area you're from, still people know that vegetarian is best. Here in Tamil Nadu, they may not even know. But in much of Andhra Pradesh, you're in that area, that East Godavari, West Godavari, Krishna, that area, people know, still, it's better to be vegetarian. That whole coastal Andhra area, they know. Maybe less so in Rayalaseema. Maybe less so. I think that, why is that? I just kind of feel that. Maybe because, what's the reason? Maybe less agriculture, more Muslims. Telangana also.
Dry area,
yeah. So they traditionally people eat meat more there, it would seem. Is it or not? In general, people, the Telugu speaking people, at least the Hindus, they understand. They still have that feeling that vegetarian is better. Must be there to some extent in Tamil Nadu, because like I say, they go into college and so many students, decide on the spot they don't want to eat meat anymore. Still there. But it's definitely, I would think, more... In general, people are more pious, the Telugu people. And I think that one major reason for that is the propaganda that's been out in Tamil Nadu from this Periyar and all this, very atheistic. Periyar, isn't it? Yeah. What a big job we have to try to turn around. Anyway, this horrible society. Krishna can do everything.
He is asking if we can, while we go to preach, if we can tell the people the wrong philosophy, which was presented by Periyar, the wrong point.
Actually, we need a book in Tamil. We need that to defeat atheism. But I think that influence is fading out. It was this Karunanidhi built his career on that. Karunanidhi, he built his political career on that. But the next generation of politicians, even his own son, Stalin, he's not so anti-religious. And the Jayalalitha and her followers, they're not anti-religious. And then we have the what's his name? That Rajinikanth. He's getting into politics just before he dies. He's so old. But this Kamal Hassan, he's a rascal. Whoops, I didn't say that. He's an anti-Hindu Hindu, like Karunanidhi. He's also a Brahmin, is it? Yeah. We'll have to see.
He has taken to the Periyar philosophy.
Yeah. We'll have to see. The whole Tamil Nadu political scene is unclear. It's unclear because it was dominated for years by Karunanidhi and Jayalalitha, and Jayalalitha is dead, and Karunanidhi's, for all practical purposes, retired, and he's very old, and it's unclear what the future is going to be. And although we directly don't have any interest in all these things, but it does make a difference because people are very influenced by these policies. I mean, definitely Nehru had a tremendous influence on the direction of modern India, and it wasn't good. By political or historical analysis, we can think that if Sardar Patel, if he had been the Prime Minister, it would have been a different India. Anyway, so it's very open, but it's what's going to happen in Tamil Nadu is not at all clear. How the political landscape will unfold, but it seems that the time of gross atheism is receding. It would seem like that. But then the Christian conversion is coming up, which is also detrimental to preaching pure Krishna consciousness.
He says that the entire Nagarkoil area in Tamil Nadu has been converted to Christianity.
Yeah, that's true.
90%
is. Yeah. But our devotees are preaching there also. We We have Ved Narayana, not exactly in Naga, but they're doing programs in one. There's one town in Tamil Nadu called Nazareth. Nazareth, or is it Bethlehem? Near to Tirunelveli. So they're going there and preaching also. The thing is, the people, the older Christians are more open to Krishna consciousness. It's the new ones who are not. When Gurudas Prabhu was leading a party, book distribution party, in Bengaluru, they used to go to the station, that majestic station, and distribute books to the trains standing on the platform. So they did many books to Keralite people. There were so many trains from Bengaluru to Kerala. And he said many Christians would take books also. But how they would take it, they would, first of all, they'd open the book, read a little, and then they'd take it, because they want to see if there's something substantial there. And he told me once that there was a whole group of Christians, and they took books, and they said to him that, we know in Christianity there's nothing there. These are not the new ones, these are the old. Because if you're in India and you're a little intelligent, Keralite people, they're all most educated people in India, and they tend to be quite intellectual. If you have this Christian philosophy, but you're also exposed to Vedanta, then it seems quite clear to many of them that Vedanta is much more philosophical. Whereas in Christianity, it's not that it doesn't have philosophy, which has been developed, but as it's presented, it's mostly just have faith, that's all. Just believe. Just believe. Don't think about it, just believe. And that's there in Islam also. And what happened to myself and so many others in the West, I was raised in a Catholic family and told you just believe. But then after some time you start thinking, well, why? And you can't find any good reason to do so. So then you start looking for something else. By Srila Prabhupada's grace, Krishna's grace, I came to this. Many people just become atheists. Because the way God is presented in Christianity is very unappealing to many. The idea of a God who just throws people into hell, it seems to be his main business. Very unappealing. Oh, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Anyway, the main thing is distribute Prabhupada's books. This Bhagavad Darshan is also very good because it addresses so many topical issues like this. Srila Prabhupada is very interesting. He gave his books, which are they give the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness, but then he himself started the Back to Godhead magazine, writing on topical issues and giving the Krishna conscious perspective on it. That's a good way to catch people's interest also, isn't it? Bhagavad Darshanam in Tamil.
Bhagavad Darshanam in Belur town, three Muslim people bought Bhagavad Darshanam from him.
Yeah.
They also gave some extra donation. Over and above the book price.
Interesting. They were what, shopkeepers or?
They were just normal householders.
I see. In Gujarat, we have quite a few subscribers to Bhagavad Darshan, Muslims. There's a whole caste in Gujarat of Brahmins who are forcibly converted to Islam. And they're some hundreds of years ago, and they're still a distinct caste, the Bura caste. They have their special hats. They're in Bombay also, you must have seen them. And they're very open and favorable to us. They're a rich community, isn't it? You know, they do business. Vyavasai means the vyapara.
He says that that while he preaches, he tells people that what the British could not do in 400 years, the TV did it.
Yeah.
And this he got to know from your book, and he preaches this to the. Mm-hmm. He uses this point to preach to many people.
Yeah. So the British weren't there for 400 years. The British weren't there for 400 years.
The British?
They weren't there for 400 years.
British karanga 400 varshathuke illa.
Maximum you could say 200. Anyway, stretch it out a bit. Little exaggeration. Anyway, the point is that that's also their message to youth of India. That's to attract people's attention, but it's half the book is quotes from Prabhupada. And that also, that's for RSS types and like this. Rashtriya Swayam Sevak Sangha. Yeah, so Gita, Bhagavatam, we should promote this. But then there are speciality books also. Speciality books. Yeah, just like on specific topics, like Message to Youth of India, Beginner's Guide, Coming Back. That's there in Tamil, right? Coming Back.
Yes, it is there in Tamil.
For a long time it's been there. Science of Self-Realization is very good. Oh, I was just thinking, this part, I asked him, are you reading Prabhupada's books? He said he found them difficult.
He said, read Science of Self-Realization.
Yeah. Did you convey that to him? No, I didn't say. I thought I should have said to him. I asked you to convey that to him? No? You can convey to him that he can read the Science of Self-Realization. Science of Self-Realization, because that's a more easy introduction. Many people find the Gita difficult to get into, although it makes more devotees than others. But you really have to apply your mind to try. And even without association of devotees, it's difficult to get into some of the concepts. But the Science of Self-Realization, it's articles that were meant for the public, for the uninformed public. So all these topics, the science of the soul, then about what is a guru, so many topics there. Very, very, very good introductory book. Now in Ceylon, they used to do a lot of, in the colleges, they used to do a lot of distribution of Gita and Krishna book. Now they're doing sets of small books, which has its advantages also, because people feel they could read. Many people, if they see a big book like this, I can't read that. They're used to reading SMS messages or WhatsApp messages. You see a big book like this. But a small book, they feel, maybe I could get into this. So that has its advantages also. They're very good for introducing. Perfect questions, perfect answers. Great book for introducing people to Krishna consciousness. This Prabhupada life story also, very good. So many things. Hare Krishna, shall we finish that? I thought that would just be a 15-minute talk. It's more than 1 hour. Talking about preaching is enlivening, huh? You're thinking about how we can bring Krishna consciousness to others. I'm sitting in this room, you're thinking, what am I doing? I'm writing books. What birds are those? They're owls?
Owls,
yeah, I thought so by the sound. You hear them in the night also. They come out at this time, which also makes you think. You don't see them much, eh? You hear them more. Owls, they're supposed to be the carrier of Lakshmi, right? Lakshmi has an owl vahanam. What's the word in Sanskrit for owl? Uluka. Uluka is one word.
Yes, uluka.
Yeah.
In Sanskrit, yes.
In Uluk, Uluka. That's one way. In Bengali they say Pecha, which is not, if you say Uluk, they don't understand. In English culture they have the idea that an owl is supposed to be wise. I don't know why. Because they have big eyes. Well, no, they actually don't have very big eyes, but it looks like that. Maybe it looks like glasses or something. I don't know. I have no idea why. Here, I don't think so. Huh? Their eyes look very big and round, so maybe it looks like someone who wears big glasses. Maybe. I don't know why. You could look it up on the internet if you want. If you want to waste a few minutes of your life.
This owl is not so auspicious.
But the sound is not nice, huh? The sound they make is a very harsh, grating sound. So this time, what should the ladies be doing? In traditional Hindu households. At dusk, what do they do? Dusk, sandhya. Take rest? Watch TV? I'm talking about traditional.
Usually, before the altar, they put the diyas.
They light the lamp. Not only before the altar, you, everywhere because it's needed for the night. Lighting the lamps. There should be a lamp outside the house also.
Outside the house?
Yeah, there should be a lamp. That's very important. And in Bengal, in the villages, when I was traveling in the 1980s, that in the evening also the women, they'd bring out this, what's that called? Dhuna. Means the light, not exactly light, smoke. And then they'd do the ulu ulu sound, and blow the conch. And that would, because at this time, all the inauspicious elements, they become active. So that's to drive them out. And the lamp is also for driving them out. So go light your lamps and do the aarti. It's late for the aarti. Oh, and bang the gong also. Dong 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 dong. Dong 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 dong. All this going on. Quite noisy in the village at this time. No, in the house, I'm saying. They do it in the house. Housewife. Woman means housewife. Okay.